586 is our invitation hymn. 586.
Good morning. Yes, we have a number missing, it looks like, this morning, but we appreciate each one of you who are here, and we have some folks here today from Wanoka, I know that, and some also from Alva, and we appreciate you. And if there are others who are visiting today, especially from our community, thank you. Pray that this hour will be one that will be helpful to you in living your life in a way that pleases God. That it will be encouraging and strengthening to you. We are glad to have the Reyes family home. We're glad that they made that trip safely and got in and out of Mexico without any trouble. What do you think is the greatest danger facing most Christians today? Is it the danger of persecution? You know, of course, it would be if, it might be something like that if he's going in and out of Mexico very often. Or is it the danger of temptation? What about false teachers and false teaching? Do you think that that poses very much of a danger for Christians today? Well, it would only be a guess on my part, yours as well, I'm sure, but I wonder if the danger that faced the Christians, for whom the book of Hebrews was written, might be the greatest danger that all of us face. Week before last, we got into the book of Hebrews in our New Testament studies, and thus far we have covered the first six chapters. And for those of you who are sharing in that study with us, and I wish everybody would, but for those of you who are sharing in that study with us, I wonder if you noticed how many times the writer of Hebrews, even thus far in these first six chapters, has said something about a hearing problem. Notice how the writer begins this letter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God's Son has spoken to us, he says. But what if we have a hearing problem? I'm not talking about the kind of hearing problem that can be fixed with a hearing device, a hearing aid or something like that. But I'm talking about a hearing problem that's worse than that, much worse than that. As you already know, not all hearing is listening. There are a lot of husbands who hear their wives, but they're not listening to them. And there are a lot of teenagers who hear their parents, but they're not listening to them. There are a lot of students who hear their teachers, but they're not really listening to them. There's a good chance that some of you who are hearing me right now are really not listening to me. I'm reminded of what the Lord said to Ezekiel in the 33rd chapter, verses 31 and 32, speaking about the people listening to Ezekiel. God said, "And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain, and behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice, and plays well on an instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it." The people were hearing Ezekiel, but they were not listening to God. Going back to the book of Hebrews, notice verse 1 of chapter 2, where the writer says, "Therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. In light of the fact that it is God's own Son that is speaking to us, you see, we'd better pay close attention. That's what the Hebrew writer is trying to say. Otherwise, he says, we might just drift away from it. And that could really be dangerous, couldn't it? The idea of drifting away from the gospel is really scary to me. I haven't seen just a whole lot of my people in my lifetime who just out and out decided to quit Christianity, who just decided to quit believing God and in His Son. But I've seen many, and you probably have as well, many people who have just drifted away. Didn't we just read recently in our study through Revelation that the love of people had lost their first love, rather? That was the church in Ephesus, wasn't it? In Revelation, the second chapter, the church in Ephesus had left their first love. It said they were doing some things that were good. They were on top of some things, but they had left their first love. I wonder if they were having a hearing problem or if they were in the process of drifting away. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. The writer says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Don't do that. Quoting from Psalm chapter 95. And then he actually repeats that same exhortation in verse 15. And then he says it again in chapter 4 and verse 7. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Then in chapter 5, the writer makes the problem that he's concerned about very, very plain. He'd been talking about Dean Garut's favorite biblical character. That's Melchizedek. And in verse 11, he says, and about this we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. I wonder if that isn't the greatest danger that's facing Christians today. Amen. The danger of becoming dull of hearing. In the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel, we read a number of parables that Jesus told. And the first one that he told was the parable of the sower. And there's the four kinds of soil. And at the end of telling that parable, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him do what? Let him hear. That's in verse 9. And then in verse 10, we read where his disciples came to him and they said, Master, why do you speak to the people in parables? You remember that? Look at Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. Jesus answers his disciples and he says to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. There's that word again. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Wish we had time to really go into talking about that passage a little bit more, but I want to press on in my lesson this morning. Jesus said, Isaiah said that. He's referring back to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, the people were hearing, but they weren't hearing. He said their hearts had grown dull and they were barely hearing anything anymore. Now, Isaiah said that. But Isaiah wasn't talking about a bunch of hardened Gentiles. He was talking about the people of Israel. And neither was Jesus in referring to what Isaiah said, talking about a bunch of Gentile reprobates. He was talking about his fellow Jews, even those who had been following him around from place to place. He was saying that what Isaiah said about the Jews in his day was just as true of the Jews in his day, in Jesus' day. And I believe the Hebrew writer was seeing the same problem beginning to develop among the Christians to whom he was writing. And I've already referenced it, but I was really struck by the words of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your father put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, pay close attention here. The Hebrew writer says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. And then he quotes from Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 and 8. We don't actually know who wrote Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. But the Hebrew writer tells us that the words actually came from the Holy Spirit anyway. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. What did he mean today? Well, Isaiah was talking about that moment, wasn't he? He's talking about that day, right then, where he was talking to those people. He wasn't talking about what they had heard in the past. He wasn't talking about what they had learned in the past. He wasn't talking about what they had done in the past. What about now? What are you hearing right now, he says? What are you learning right now? What are you doing with what you are learning right now? That's what Isaiah was talking about. And I think that's what the Hebrew writer was talking about as well. What did Isaiah mean, if you hear his voice? Obviously, the Lord was not there in person talking to the Israelites, but he was speaking through the prophet Isaiah, wasn't he? And the Hebrew writer wasn't saying that God was audibly talking to the Christian, but he was speaking to them through the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and about the teachings of God through that had come through Christ. God doesn't have to be visible for us to know that He's alive. He doesn't have to speak audibly for us to be able to hear Him. We have His Word, and we have a wealth of opportunities to hear His voice. If I or any other speaker gets up here and faithfully brings you a message from the Scriptures, tell me, is that not God speaking to you? Do you not have a recording of God's Word right here in this volume that we call the Bible? But are you listening to it? Or is it just sitting there on your coffee table or your end table or in the back seat of your car day after day after day? Think about the millions and millions of people who don't even have access to the sacred Word of God, or perhaps who have lots of access to it, but never ever pick it up to read it or to think about it. That shouldn't be true. Those of us who wear the name of Christ. But it is true. Sadly enough, it is true of so many Christians because they have become dull of hearing. I think about our many Bible classes. And we have classes for children. We have classes for adults. But there are so many people. There are so many of you who don't see the need to come to class. And I'm not trying to set in judgment of you. But is it possible that the reason why you don't feel like you need to be in class is because you become dull of hearing? You don't really want to hear it anymore. Are you listening? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the message. Well, what did Isaiah mean by that? How does one harden their hearts? Think about that. How does one develop a bad physical heart? No one wakes up one morning deciding that he's going to do everything he can to just really develop a bad heart. But over time, little things begin to take their toll, don't they? Things like failing to eat right, or getting the right amount of exercise and rest. And I know genetics has a big part to play with that, but you know what I'm trying to say. No one wakes up one morning deciding that they're going to harden their hearts to the voice of God. They don't have to decide to do that. But for sure it's going to happen if they don't become intentional about really listening to God. I thought it was interesting that in verse 12, the writer there says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God." Let your mind dwell with that for a moment. Think about that. How does one go from having a heart that is full of faith and trust and humbly submissive and eager to obey, one that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, how does one go from that to having an evil, unbelieving heart? I think that's an important question that every one of us ought to consider for our own sake as well as for the sake of others. One thing, of course, is what he went on to write about in verse 13, being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful. And it is easy to be deceived about what is right and wrong and what is good and bad and what is true and false, especially if one is really not hearing or listening to the Word of God. If we willfully choose to be ignorant of what God says, if we're not going to take advantage of the opportunities we have of growing in our knowledge of the Lord, if we're not going to come and study, if we're just going to come and sit and really not listen, then there's really no way that we're going to be able to keep from being deceived by sin. And once we're deceived by sin, then the hardening process begins. And after a time, we get to the point where we not only don't know, we don't care that we don't know. We become dull of hearing. So verse 15, he writes it again. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now notice verses 16 and through 19. The writer there raises three questions. This is in chapter 4. Number one, who were those who heard and yet rebelled? His answer was it not all of those who left Egypt led by Moses? Number two, he says, with whom was he provoked for 40 years? And he also answers that question with a question. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And then question number three says, to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? And he answers that question with a statement. And it was those who were disobedient. And then he concludes with this declaration. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Did you catch that? And remember, he's talking about the Israelites now. The Israelites who came out of Egypt. The Israelites who saw all those wonderful, powerful miracles of God. Who had had God blessing them over and over and over, working his power in front of them over and over and over again. But he says they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Don't become dull of hearing. Pay attention, because this is important. He said they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Now, do you suppose if you had had the opportunity to walk up to one of those Israelites and you would ask them, are you a believer in God? Oh, yes. Absolutely. I'm sure they thought of themselves as believers. And in one sense of the word, they were believers. But they were believers who had become dull of hearing. They spoke and acted more like unbelievers. And by inspiration, the writer tells us that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Do you suppose that may be the reason why Jesus said a lot of people are going to be surprised on that day when they stand before Him in judgment? And they're going to say, Lord, we're Your people. Didn't we profess Your name? Didn't we do all these things in Your name? In chapter 4, the Hebrew writer goes on to talk about entering God's rest. And that is, I believe, a reference to reaching the goal that hopefully all of us have set for ourselves, that of having an everlasting life with God and His angels and the saints from all the ages. But there's a lot of people, you realize, that really don't want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go to hell. Heaven for some people, strangely enough, is really the lesser of two evils. If it wasn't for hell, they wouldn't have any desire to go to heaven. And of course, that's the result, I think, of a massive amount of ignorance, a massive amount of being deceived by sin. Because sin has deceived them to thinking that we really have something down here. This is worth having. But as the writer talks about entering that rest, he says, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, in other words, we're not there yet. He says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Now, I don't know what people do who subscribe to that doctrine that once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't know what they do with these passages in Hebrews, really. If it's impossible to fall from grace, why would the Hebrew writer, the inspired writer of Hebrews here, why would he warn the Christians about the possibility of falling away, failing to enter that rest, if it was impossible? Wouldn't make any sense, would it? I think the writer was saying that we need to fear our failure, our not being able to enter into that rest, and because it would keep us from becoming complacent if we don't have that fear, taking things for granted. And then the writer gives an illustration about what happened to the Jews whose hearts were hardened in the wilderness. He says, and we're going to talk about that, by the way, tonight. We talk about the fiery serpent. I hope you'll come back and be with us this evening at 5. But he says they had the good news preached to them. That wasn't the gospel of Christ, but in a way it was. It was a message of redemption. They had been called out from that slavery that they were in Egypt. It was a message of being God's people. It was a message that had the promise of a land that they said was described as being filled with milk and honey. So in a sense, they had the good news preached to them, but he says it didn't profit them. It didn't benefit them. And the reason was is because it says it was not united with faith by those who heard. In other words, those people heard the good news, but they lacked the faith to obey God. And verse 6 makes it clear that's what he's talking about. The writer says, since therefore it remained for some to enter, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Now, if you're reading that verse 6 in the King James, it uses the word because of unbelief. But that's really just the basis of disobedience, isn't it? What is disobedience? It's unbelief in action. But actually, you know, the Greek word that is translated there is the word from which we get the English word apathy. Because of their apathy, they were not able to enter. Because of their lukewarmness, because of their being dull of hearing. So in verse 7, he says it again. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That's what I believe is the greatest danger facing Christians today. The danger of not really listening to God. It's the danger that comes from not knowing the Word of God. It's the danger of not even wanting to know the Word of God, of being satisfied with what I already know. It's the danger of complacency, of thinking that you know everything you need to know already. No need to worry about anything else. It's the danger of being deceived by sin and developing a hardened heart that will eventually, as the writer says, lead you into falling away from the living God, drifting away. It's the danger of thinking that because you escaped from Egypt, that your ticket to the promised land is guaranteed. It's the danger of not understanding that when you don't obey God, and when you're apathetic and lukewarm about your faith, it's the same thing as unbelief. It's the danger of thinking that you really don't have to change your ways, your priorities, or your thinking. It's the danger of thinking that it is someone else who needed to hear this lesson, that it really didn't apply to you. It's a danger because you haven't been listening to God of not even realizing that you're in any danger. That's the danger that we're facing because we've become dull of hearing. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit said, today. For 2,000 years, the message has been the same. Today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Well, I hope today you have heard His voice. And I hope that you heard it, you listened to it, and that you are not hardening your heart. And if you know, as you're sitting here today, that there's something that you need to do besides just sitting here today, if you know that you need to make a decision about some things, I pray that you'll make that decision. Not make the mistake. Not let sin deceive you into thinking, oh, well, I can do that later. I'll do that another time. Don't let sin deceive you and make you dull of hearing. So today, if you have heard His voice, do not harden your hearts. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if your life is not in a right relationship with God, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful to the Lord and recognize that you haven't been doing or being what you ought to be, what you confessed that you wanted to be and do, we encourage you as well this morning. Humble yourself, confess those sins, and ask God to forgive you and rededicate yourself in His service. If we can pray for you or be a help to you in any way, please let that be made known. And will you come while together we stand and as we sing?